Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Isn't that just fabulous? You know, such an innocent spirit that joins and welcomes us every day to the Optimize My Life radio show on the blog Radio Talk. And today we're coming to you from many different platforms. You might be hearing me live. You might be listening to me through an archived message because every day our shows are archived. Today we've got over 1,800 shows that we've compiled, spreading the good news from the Hope Collection, the 501c3 nonprofit that sponsors this show. And we were started now with the Hope Collection over 10 years ago. Joel Griffin, the original, I'll tell you what, original, he just was an incredible man who was well-educated, a doctorate in math, was an advisor to multiple presidents, has been spoken in front of parliament, and what his life's aim was to be able to help us to become servant leaders and to make a difference in this world. Our theme at the Hope Collection is called helping others by helping them help others. In other words, it's the idea of empowering others and making something happen, not just talking about stuff. And, you know, each Tuesday we have the show. We operate from noon to 1 Eastern time, and you are welcome to join us. Actually, we operate 5 days a week, and there's different shows and there's different themes. Today we generally follow the theme of travel and of how that affects our lives, our communities, the individuals, families, and the direction our country can go and the world's going in. And what's really cool, when you go into dreaming, just think of this a minute. When you start thinking about the ideas of being on a beach, I live in Buffalo, New York, where I'm coming to you as the president of the Hope Collection, and I'm hosting an incredible gentleman who runs not only as a board member of the Hope Collection, recognized treasurer, he also runs a full-time ministry called Marketplace Ministries. And he's dedicated and been working with he and his wife, Brenda, for years to really fine-tune and evolve and develop the way of taking the spiritual gifts that we've been given from God and implementing them in a way that will make a difference. And now through the Hope Collection and our sister organization called the Golden Rule Society, we actually put out programs and opportunities for people to take advantage of. But today we want to hone in on just the area, let's call it travel, dreaming, coming alive. And you know what? Right now, more people are coming alive in spite of all the stuff that you stay away from the TV and the shows, will you? Because what they're out to do is sell advertising, sell money, and make other people, you want to know something, you're helping other people be prosperous when you waste your time with them. But if you'll spend your time hanging around, learning and being involved, with dreaming and how to expend and how to implement that in your life, I guarantee you, your life will be so much better. You'll have less stress and you'll live better. So I want to introduce right now a dear friend of mine and a leader amongst our organizations and has a proven track record. And I'll let him talk a little bit about himself, though he normally doesn't. But Rick Reese, I do want to welcome you to the show today. Thank you for coming aboard.
You know, Ron, it's so good to be here. I know you're on countdown, and just like my last days in the military, to retire, you know, the soldiers, when they get ready to retire, they drop off mentally. I guess that's probably anybody, not just soldiers. If you're working a job and you got a retirement date or vacation coming, there's a shutdown period prior to whatever event that is. I'm glad that you're still with us, Ron. I'm glad you're still with us.
Well, we are too. And the exciting thing, as you mentioned, we do have a retirement coming up. My wife after 13 years at a law firm and 18 years in a major grocery chain as an executive secretary. By the way, she's proud to claim that she's a trained, there are very few of them today, secretary, that she's been extensively involved in operating a law firm or a corporate entity. And
wow.
She has been that. She has accolades that are incredible. But I got one better, two better than that. Number one is she's my wife. And
yes.
For 49 years, we've been on a honeymoon. They were still on it.
Oh.
To prove that, Sunday morning, we're getting on an airplane. I just got off the phone with Southwest just to make sure our flights are all square. But we're leaving for Miami and then Cozumel, Mexico on a cruise. So we're doing that very thing. And, you know, she's retiring from the law firm, and she's so excited about it. It's also her birthday, our anniversary. I mean, just all this stuff is coming together. And what it says is that we've been blessed to be able to look at these times in our life and these dates now and celebrate. You know, everybody loves, you know, everybody likes the song, Celebrate Good Times. I won't sing. I've had them
come
on the last couple of weeks. So. Come on. And, I just remember a couple months ago, we were
as long
beach,
as you're well before
the
you know, thank goodness you're well before the cruise.
That's that, right?
And even if he wasn't, it would immediately go.
Well, we did during COVID. We said, well, we got tested, and I've been tested again for COVID. My illness was pneumonia, but it wasn't COVID. So, anyways, I was still sick, but I had to get better, and I'm doing that now. So there is nothing that's going to keep me from getting on that ship Sunday morning.
It's amazing on my job when I was working, and I haven't been working since, well, I say official job, just over broke, journey on the way to brokenness. The money you make goes just on bills, and the boss makes you jump out of bed. Since I let my boss go in 2005, you know, I haven't been getting sick. It's amazing how the job makes you sick. I used to love how Burl Walk would say, you know, 80% of the people hate their jobs. And they're driving to work, and it's like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Yeah, oh, you know, but they never do anything, Ron, to change it. Why don't they do anything to change it?
I think there's two things about that, Rick. Sometimes people are just in a state of ignorance, ignorant unhappiness. They're unhappy, but they don't realize they haven't discovered the wonderful fountain of love and youth that they have in their heart. When you discover that, your vision of the world changes dramatically. And I think there's just a lot of people that it could be for a number of things. First of all, habit. Second of all, environment. And third of all, they're not surrounding themselves with anybody that has any thought about tomorrow or what could be. When you find someone that's in those positions, they may not be where they want to be, but they understand all those things, Rick. And you put an opportunity in front of them, they jump at it. They literally jump at it. You can't hold them back.
But you and Linda did. Next thing I know, I tell you about travel. I'm like, where'd Ron go? He's over in Europe cruising the Rhine, Viking River cruises. I'm like, how did he even know? He just joined the travel business.
Ron, this country.
Well, hey, country.
Hey, country boy.
You know what's wrong with a lot of those people that Burl was talking about going to those jobs? They do have stress attacks, stuck in traffic, oh, I'm going to be late, I can't be late this more. There's a disease that nobody ever talked about. Everybody knows about corona, but there's another disease going around, and you can have it and not know you have it. You can have sleep right next to a person and they have it and not know it. It's called a disease of procrastination. I'm going to just stop right there and keep moving, Rick. We're talking travel. We're not talking procrastination.
No. When you said that, I thought of myself. I thought of myself prior to letting my boss go in 2005. And I thought of me procrastinating for about a year, about 9 months, when the idea, the inspiration, the thought came, let the boss go. And you know, Lord, I got you. But fear took over. Fear kicked in. And I was procrastinating because of fear. And I'm like, you know what? I got a wife. I got two kids getting ready to go to, you know, graduate high school. Want to go to college. I got a mortgage. I got all this stuff. And I'm getting an inspiration to leave the job. Are you kidding me? The security of a steady. Now, we live for a steady, right? And I'm gonna jump out of the boat and swim for shore. Are you kidding me? And so, procrastination for about a year. What was interesting about that is in that state of procrastination, I thought it would get better, but it got worse. I thought the heat would be turned down, but the heat was turned up. Because when you have something that you know you're supposed to do and you don't do it, man, I was opening myself up to I don't even know what, but instead of getting easier, it got harder. And then finally, after I'd say 9 months of just being out there in the desert, the fear, the desire to do the right thing and following the impulse and the obedience to follow the impulse overrode the fear. And the pain overrode the fear.
Rick?
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened is you broke a cycle in your life. Man, this is
ooh,
true
that's
for
good.
Anybody and everybody. It's true for both sides of the issue. You chose to alter the course. What most people do is they're like a frog. Do you know how to cook a frog? Does anybody on the call, on the phone, on the platforms listening today, does anybody know how to cook frog? Now, let me explain.
I can do frog legs.
No self-respecting frog will jump into boiling water. But if you take a nice cool pot of water and you put it on the stove, you put that froggy in there, and you turn the burner on, and you just keep cooking it till it's boiling. When you're done, guess what?
Frog
cooked the frog. He never knew it was coming. He didn't feel the increased lack of life. He didn't feel the increased lack of touching people's lives. He didn't feel all because he become numb to the conditions he was in. That's what I was saying, that most people are in ignorant, not in ignorant bliss, they're in ignorant stupidity because they don't realize they're like the frog getting cooked. Our job, because we have been enlightened, doesn't make us greater people, better people, any of those things. What it makes us more responsible to help more people. Don't you feel good when you've helped somebody and they turn around, and even if it's a small thing, opening a door for somebody, helping somebody get something done at their house, you know, neighbor that needs something, just go and do it. You don't ask. I mean, you don't abuse the relationship, but you just help somebody. You do it. What that creates is a circle of gratitude, a cycle of gratitude. Someone appreciates what you've done. And when you have been appreciated, that allows you to be free to go do it again. And the more you do that, the freer you get. Your spirit gets freer because we lose the encumbrances of being under a, really, we're like slaves. We are slaves to our system. And you know, we've got today, no matter how bad it is in America, do you realize in the last year, 500,000 people broke the law to get in our country? No matter what it took, they're willing to die to come here. So don't tell me this isn't a good country. Don't tell me we got problems. and therefore because we got problems, we're no good. We got problems because we got to solve them. But, you know, there's people breaking the law to come to our country. Last year, they're saying a tomb of 500,000 people. It could be in every year. So,
well, Ron, in addition to that, over COVID, the great resignation, you know, the people, the workers that were told, you're non-essential. Get out of here. You're non-essential. Get out of town. And then, of course, after COVID, after they realized, people realized, hey, I'm working from home. And now you have the great resignation with the people that don't want to go back to work. And but what do they do? You know, how do you even let those people know you don't have to take it? And I'm seeing that's what happened with me in 2005. I became unemployable. Now I'm unemployable. But you know what? I'll tell you this. My boss, great guy, but he was holding over my head. We talk about travel. He was holding over my head. You can't take vacations. I was working 80 hours a week. And in the defense industry, and Mary knows this, you got to keep going, and any job, not just defense. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. But when you're working with systems, you know, the systems don't take vacations. The systems don't stop. They keep going. They keep going. So the people have to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, when does this cycle end? You hit the nail on the head. I broke a cycle. What does it take to when you find yourself locked into a cycle that you are, hey, I got to get off this treadmill. I got to get off this little circle where the gerbils run, right? And a little wheel. I got to get off, but I can't stop. I got to get off, though. You got to make a decision. What happened with me, I can tell you, is that the pain became so unbearable, and I began to see a glimmer of light out there in the darkness, And that represented freedom. I'm like, you know, I got to run for this light. But it took me a year. It took me 9 months, you know, to build up the courage. You know, when my boss would say, "No, you got to do this," and that little veiled threat of you could be fired, and me, you know, cowering down, saying, "Oh my gosh, I could be fired. I got this responsibility. I got the kids. I got the wife. I got, I could imagine me coming home and telling, you know, my wife I'm fired or I don't have a job." And that veiled hint of threat hanging over me, I finally got to the point. And I was in the travel business, but I just looked at the travel business and said, hey, oh, great tool, great fun. Go on a trip, come back, you know, in time to go back to work. And I finally got over the, like you said, country boy, the procrastination and the fear. And I made a decision. How many people spend a lifetime but never make a decision? You know, never say, I got to do this or I will die if I don't. And I made a decision and I let the boss go. February 7th, 2005, 1 o'clock. Not that I was tracking it. And the boss said, don't you care about your family? And I said, that's why I'm letting you go. And my wife nor I, and Brenda was a professional real estate agent. I mean, she's a broker. She had her own company. We let both of them go. She let hers go 2 years before me. And who knew we could transition? And this is us. I'm not telling you go out and tell your boss off and get fired or let him go. This is my story. So don't you do it. Unless you are in, you know, inspired to do it. But who knew that we would transition? And like you said, Ron, break the cycle. and become unemployable, like you say, country boy, and become entrepreneurs. And we, and then we run into Burl Walk, multi-gazillionaire, and his radio show. And he has us on his radio show. And we're talking specifically, he brings us on the show to talk about travel. And we begin to hone our skills in sharing the travel story. I can tell you this, when you build up the courage to make a firm decision on your future, everything, and we were talking about this yesterday, Country Boy, the serendipities, you will find all the things that you need to continue on that journey with your new vision. What does it take to get a person to that place, though, where they finally have the courage to say, I've got skills to pay the bills, and if this doesn't work, I can always find something else? COVID drove a lot of people to that. You know, you're a non-essential, go home, and they, whoa, hey, I actually do have skills. It broke that cycle of pain for them. So I'm just appreciative. And we haven't gone back to work since. We've been doing travel for the entire time and traveling the world, enjoying life, and making money. Back to you, Ron.
Well, Rick, first thing, would you say that the day after this instance on the February 7th when you quit, that the next day you said to your boss, I'm calling in well tomorrow? The other side of that for many people when they quit their job or retire, what they're going back to, the unknown that they have, is not that they can't have a great life because they've done things previously to put a, let's call it a hedge of protection, let's call it a system that will support them, that allows them to be free without being chained to that obligation of a job. You know, what I find, I love to tell the story that in today in America, I don't care where you're at, on the top of the chain, what they call top of the chain, bottom of the chain, top of the ladder, bottom of the ladder, doesn't matter where you're at. You can, by choice, explore and find out how you can change your life. Now, back in the dark ages, back in the 1400s, there were some people that were caught in a system. Basically, they call it today in history books, and we're teaching our kids, or we're supposed to, that they were serfs. They had nothing. They didn't own anything. They lived to feed the king and the landlords, and they lived to serve everybody else with nothing expected in return other than enough food to keep you working. That's called Middle Ages, and that's called slavery. Now, today, there's a generation that thinks they're the only ones that had slavery in their lives. But I'll guarantee you, there was a sense in time that a whole culture of people called Europe were slaves. They were serfs. They just chose to escape it. And how they did it, they got on, first of all, here's some things they did that were different, that made a difference. They prayed about it. And they said, Lord, we heard that there is a new world to go to. So they packed up all their belongings, which was nothing, and they packed up everything they had, which was nothing, and they got on a ship. They found a way to pay for to get in a little wood box that was going to go out, transverse the Atlantic Ocean, and they leave the security of slavery in England and Europe to come to America. Now, when they got here, I want you to know, I'm going to surprise some people. They didn't come here with a resume saying, I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for a paycheck. They didn't come here expecting that someone's going to provide them with medical. They came here for opportunity to grow and become and use what was in the new world, whatever it was, because they didn't even know what it was because they never saw or heard it. And when they got here, they did some things, and what happened was they formed society, and after some failure, which was socialism and communism, for any of you people that lean that way, I'm not trying to be political, but understand something. They tried it already, and it failed. The first people that came to America from Europe tried socialism, communism. They've died. In fact, we lost the whole colony. Now they decided to have this thing called work and eat. Work and eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now we started creating that. Then we started finding ways to be creative and take your talents and use them in the area that you're best equipped for. And we started a society of building. And we rewarded people in correlation to what they did, the value of it. And people who were more valuable, they got more value. People who didn't have as much value didn't get as much. So it did create differentials. We don't have a land of absolute equality of outcome. We have a land of opportunity that you can choose. You can choose to be better. Yeah, you choose to be better. Whatever you think is okay and you want to be better, there's nothing, you never have to have guilt about that. You have to have pride that you're taking your efforts and your God-given talents and apply them in serving others. And I will dare say the people that do that actually succeed. They prosper. They have benefits for their families and ongoing generations. So that's my story.
You know, that's good. Well, you know, that's awesome, Ron. And what I love about what you're saying is that you were paid on our it could be perceived value to society. That's why lawyers make more than pole diggers, but we're paid on our perceived value to society. And when I left my job, it was not easy, but that's when a person has to slow down, push out the fear, and look inside and ask themselves, what skills do I have, you know, that have value in this society? And it takes a lot to slow down and to push out the fears that, you know, you're going to have a pole with a little bag on the end of it with four little people walking down the street, you know, because you're homeless. But you have to slow down. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I share with them just a cliff note of what you and I was talking about? And I tell you, man, where do you get all this stuff from? I didn't really understand it until you explained it to me. Now you're explaining it to me. You and Ron are having a similar conversation on the air. And then I get up this morning and jump out of the shower. I always have T.D. Jakes playing in the background. And lo and behold, he says the same thing that you said to me yesterday, Rick. He says, my wife and I operate out of the spirit. Did y'all hear that word? The spirit of abundance. We don't doubt. We don't have no lack in our life. Watch this, Rick. Watch this. We manufacture wealth. And then when T.D. Jakes was talking about Jehoshaphat, how the kings was conspiring against him, and they had all the material things. They had the gold and the silver and sheep on a thousand hills and this and that and the other. But when Jehoshaphat heard the word from God, he proceeded, and his weapon was goodness and mercy. And he says, instead of having all that stuff, God placed favor. Oh, Lord have mercy, Rick. Is that what happened to you and Ron Clayton? God placed favor on your life because of your servanthood, ability to serve and help and encourage and inspire. Oh, that ain't money. Encourage, help, advise. Man, see, this is what happens, you guys. They've taken, Rick told me for about 3 or 4 years. I've been in the business longer than Rick, 1988, 2005. He said, Country, I'm going to still mentor you. Yes, sir, because I like to learn every day. He told me for about 3 years, Ron, I'm not in the travel business, Country. I'm not in the travel business. I use travel as a tool to move money and manufacture wealth. Flew right over my head. He says, you remember I got in and you wasn't doing too well? You was kind of stuck in procrastination and the same old people going back here. Let me show you. This is how you do it. Now, make more money and travel. Ron says, oh, Rick, I love to travel. Men, women, Now Ron comes in and introduces travel to his church and saves his church money and makes his church. Now I'm standing over here, sitting over here on the sideline, couldn't be quiet. I'm going to turn the mic back over to you. Reese says, I manufacture wealth because I walk in the spirit of the divine creator of abundance. I'm not just reading in the book that I should be blessed in my going and my coming. Rick says, I am the blessing. If you don't want to get blessed, get out of my way, yo. I love you guys. Back to you, Rick. You manufacture well. Lord have mercy. They make it all kind of automatic.
That was
stuff,
the shift.
You make it real stuff.
That was the
real
movies
in real people's lives. Go ahead,
that
Rick.
Was the shift. The shift was a mentality, shifting from a lack mentality to an abundance mentality. In the lack mentality, I was stuck in the job, and they had something over me to keep me stuck because it's a lack mentality. When I finally got over the procrastination and the fear and said, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, and left, I shifted to an abundance mentality of I can make it, you know. Even more so saying I can make it, I got an inspiration, you know, because if you slow down enough, you know, slow down, the mind will, the spirit will speak. When you slow down, the spirit begins to speak. And so I got an inspiration to go into the community, which was setting me up for the Hope Collection. It was setting me up for Borough Walk, World Changers, you know. And so he said, you know, go into the community and serve. Serve your gifts, your talents, your skills. Don't ask for any money. And so I go into the community, and I start serving on boards and commissions, and I start serving in the church, and I start serving with the homeless and with the Red Cross, and I start serving. And a lot of people don't realize that service is your door to abundance. The more you give, the more you receive. It's not even money. It's your skills, your talents, your time, your efforts, your testimony. And I started serving and serving and serving and serving. Do you know the travel business took off without me even being there? Brenda basically was supposed to be working the travel business. She was like, I'm not doing nothing. You are the breadwinner. You make the money. And here you are volunteering in the community. I said, Brenda, I want to see something. I want to see if this inspiration is right. Like you said, Country Boy, can I manufacture wealth over here through service and the business? The favor, you mentioned it, Country Boy, the favor we began to get in the business without me even being there, because I'm serving in the community, and the people that started coming into the business knew what they were doing, and they started working the business, the travel business. It started making a ton of money, and we began to override because of compensation. We began to understand how compensation plans work, and we began to override residual income and bonuses. We were hitting bonuses and getting overrides and creating residual income. I'm serving in the community, but watching how does this service thing work. You know, and the business starts prospering with the favor. And I started overriding it. And we made a ton of money. In fact, we're still making money for that decision. It's not what it appears. A lot of times we think we have to work to get something. You have to serve. The more you serve, the money you make is proportional to your service. You want to make a lot of money, serve a lot. And that's how it works. And that was the great discovery. That it's service, and that led me to Joel, right? And it led me to the friends I have. It led me to Country Boy on Burrow's show, Burrow Walks radio show, and blog, the inventor of blog radio, Burrow Walk. And it led me to all those great things in life, and now we travel. So if a person slows down enough, the spirit will begin to speak. Their inner will begin to speak to them and give them directions. And, of course, they still have to make a decision to override fear because it, like you were saying, because you were, you know, crazy, which is a thin line between obedience and faith, where people were saying, Rick, how are you going to go into the community and not ask for money and just serve? That, you know, that's stupid. That's crazy. And I'm thinking inside, but I want to see something. I want to see the relation of service to wealth. And I'll tell you, I found the relation. And so, like, you hear me say, country boy, yeah, I'm not in travel. Travel is a tool. It's a business social tool that I use. And you know, Ron, we look at this tool, travel, with Surge 365, and like you said, with the Jinsu knife, we slice it. You know, we'll slice off the membership, the travel, wholesale instead of retail. We'll slice off the vortex for churches and businesses and schools to use as a fundraising tool. You know, we'll slice off the 7-day vacation stay, you know, to be able to do whatever we want, stay, you know, be a member for 12 months and pick out where you want to go and stay for 7 days. It's taken care of. Ron slices off the travel agency as a career opportunity, and he's taken more classes than me.
Now, Rick, why you're talking, this is what I come up with. So I just be, I'm sometimes, y'all, I really do, when people are putting positive energy, positive things out there, new ways, new thoughts, new German chocolates that you eat when you're in Germany, Ron, my spirit is like a little kettle boiling over. And while you was talking, Rick, you've been a great, not just a business partner, a friend slash mentor. I keep telling myself, I was a teacher, you guys, for over 20 years, a substitute teacher, so I wouldn't get confined to their rules. After about 20 years of teaching in the industry, they finally called me to the sidelines and said, sir, you need to slow down. Hurry up and slow down. Why? Because, Mary, you're breaking all the rules. What they was doing wasn't working. I never called nobody stupid in all my life, but in the definition in the Webster Dictionary, if you want to continue getting what you've been getting, continue to do what you've been doing. If you continue to do the same thing over and over and over again and it's not working, I hate to tell you, that's what they call stupid. Now, back to my point. Rick, this procrastination, this getting stuck, this getting thrown into corporate slavery and having to work on a job and trade our hours for money. One's, this is what I want you to hear, one's biggest fear, did y'all hear that word? One's biggest fear in life is overcoming the complexity on who God made you to be. They said it's one's worst fear is oneself. If there is no enemy, E-N-E-M-Y, in me, I-N-M-E. If there is no enemy in me, the enemy outside of me can do me no harm. So as you grow through the belief system, and then at a certain point of your life, after serving, realizing that your heart is out right in front of you, and some people will walk on it and trample it, and they'll take it and won't have no gratitude to shield it with, what happens in the process is you develop you. God says, I'll never put on you more than you can handle. You want to feel what it feels like to be a blessing to somebody. Lynn Cain would come in and say, well, just do that. It don't cost you no extra money. It's called kindness. What is kindness? Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. So now if you overcome the fear factor, your job was shut down. Now you pass the test. You're a little bit closer to finding out who you are. You've been isolated because of the corona. Now you're a little bit closer to finding out who you are. You're having to ask yourself questions. Now that I don't have that job every day, what do I really love? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now that word passion comes up, and that passion word has a Siamese twin called purpose. What is my purpose in life? Why am I really here? And if I figure out what my purpose in life, it makes me happy. They say, don't worry, be happy. And then the experts say, travel, travel, travel. They say the more memories you have in your life, good memories, I forgot to put that word in there, good memories you have in your life, the longer you live. And Ron, I'm pretty sure Rick been on, what, 30-something cruises? I don't know what cruise you was on, Rick, but I know you were somewhere out there in the water saying, free at last, free at last. Or was that Dr. King, or was that you, Ron? Or was that you, Rick? Back to you, Rick.
That was me.
I think it was
me. With that,
you know,
Mary?
I can interrupt for 1 second. You know, Country Boy's talking about figuring out who you are and being able to find your purpose and all them. And it's ironic how it turns out this way and following the path like, Rick, you always talk about. My guest on the show tomorrow is all about that. He teaches you how to tell your story and who you are through your story to find your path in life, to empower yourself to be able to move in that next step of life.
Mary, let me help you right there one more time.
Beautiful.
Tell your story. Rick will say it to me all the time, country, country. He just told y'all when he walked away from corporate America, he said, listen now, I'm talking to me. I didn't tell you to go cuss your boss out and quit your job. Rick says, I'm telling you.
I'm out of here. Take this job and sell it.
Story.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm telling you my story. So now what Mary is telling you and teaching you, there's something called self-motivation. Not selfish. Don't you put words in my mouth. I said self-motivation. Brenda Reese always says, what are you saying to you about you? If you say, oh, I can do all things through who strengthens you, then you're telling the absolutely truth. If you say, well, I can't do that, oh, well, I'm going to flunk that test. And last one again, Rick calls it a story. Ron calls it a story. I call it a story. Mary says, we're going to let you tell your story. Down here in the South, my old ancestors, they came up in a different era than we did, and the culture was a little different then. They call it a testimony. Oh, what you've been going through in that corporate slavery job that you have, that like Rick says, our mentor Burl walks, is most people, 80% of the people, have their first major stress attack, some people call it a heart attack, on the way to a job that they hate, that's making them sick. They can't stand their boss. Oh, their coworker makes them nauseous time they see them. They always get stuck in traffic. And what happens in the process, you guys, you get pushed away from that person inside of you that's been in there screaming, says, please let me out of here. Please let me be the best I can be. So that's why I say on the Hope Show, you guys, Joel Griffin had a vision. He says, I'm going to be able, since I've traveled the world and worked with all these different presidents, and it's not what you know, it's who you know. I surround myself with people that have knowledge and expertise in areas that I don't. If you think that you can do everything that the divine creator has told you to do by yourself, then he didn't tell it to you. You're going to need some help. That's why I'm calling out my super friends. We've taken the best of the best from the North, the South, the East, and the West, and we allow every single person to come in and love. Did y'all hear that word? It needs no interpretation. Love their very best. In closing, we just want you to know we want to partner up with you. We care enough to share enough information with you so that you know what you need to know in order to be able to grow, because ain't nobody can do what you do like you do when you do what you do, and we feel so honored and privileged just to be able to do it with you. Back over you, Rick.
You know, I was
It
also takes some courage to step out there, to make a decision to take the red pill and awaken out of mediocrity or stay with the status quo. And like Country Boy said, he didn't like to call anybody stupid. You don't have to. And this is a quote Mama always said, stupid is the stupid does.
It's true.
And you don't have to label anything. It's the action that you take to have the to step out on faith, make a decision. And so one of the best decisions I know I've ever made and been blessed with is to connect with this group. And that's everybody's got their own story, but it's just awesome to be a part of it. Back to you, Rick.
Thanks, Glenn. I just appreciate every time I hear you just share. It's just so awesome. One of the things when I met Burl Walk in a country where you know this, and I met Joel, what was so refreshing for me is to be around, you know, people who were rational, intelligent, grown, saying and talking about being an entrepreneur. I had not been around people who had that much boldness and courage, you know, to say the things that they were saying about being an entrepreneur and what they were saying about the job. You heard me mention the job, just over broke. It keeps you just over broke. It keeps you on that journey to brokenness. The money you make goes just on bills and no more. And the boss makes you jump out of bed. And, you know, that feeling, the law clock, oh, my gosh. But to hear Joel and hear Burl and hear Ron talking about freedom and the peace that you have when you're doing your purpose, I can say once I left my job, I started, you know, it was fearful. I mean, it's like, okay, it's not just, you know, cupcakes and lollipops. I had to really slow down so that my soul will speak. If you slow down, your soul will begin to speak. You begin to get inspiration. You begin to get directions on what to do. And do you know, out of the obedience of leaving the job, it pointed me to, and looking within, to understand my purpose, to understand the vision, and to understand those things that actually really matter in directing your course in life. Beyond a job, you know, which is just right here in front of me. But when you begin to understand walking in your purpose and walking in your vision and slowing down to hear specific instructions on what to do next. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the birthing of the Marketplace Ministry. Obedience will birth a ministry. And because then the seven mountains came into play. And you don't see this until you slow down. You don't see this until you actually start walking in obedience and in your purpose and all those serendipities that you are looking for. You find them on the path and walking in your purpose. And who knew that would me leaving the job, you know, forging off into, you know, the unknown world, you know, to find my future would be bring me to a place of dependence on the Lord and listening for direction and finding that in that obedience. All of a sudden I see this big old, you know, sun ray, and beaming on me is the ministry of Marketplace Ministry, leaving the four walls of the church, although working with the pastors, but to go into, you know, the workforce, I mean the marketplace, you know, where everything is happening. And it opens up the seven mountains. It opens up the importance of not just working a business, but understanding why you're working the business, you know, with your purpose and your vision. And then understanding the context of the seven mountains and the seven mountains vision, where wealth transfers from the business mountain as a tool to fund the other six mountains. You have the business mountain, you have the mountain of media, the mountain of art, sports, entertainment, And we're trained to climb one of these mountains or more, the mountain of family, the mountain of government, which is my mountain, government community, mountain of education, and church. So I wanted to see now, because it shifts you into a whole other place. I wanted to see if I could use the business tool travel to not only have fun, but to fund my independence, personal freedom, community building, global missions on the mountain of government community. Is it possible for this travel business to create wealth that frees me up to climb this mountain, going into the community and the wealth from the travel business, as I turned it over to the Lord, Father bless this business, allows me to be freed up to go into the community. And see, your mountain may be the mountain of church. Is it possible, whatever business tool you have, to be multiplied and blessed to free you up to serve in the mountain of church and ministry, or the mountain of family, or the mountain of media? You know, using the business mountain, that business tool that you have, multiplied by the Lord, to be able to do the things that you've been called to do as you walk in your purpose. I wouldn't have even gone this route had it not been for that initial decision to, you know, like you said, Country Boy, to forge into the unknown of leaving my job because I'm unemployable. Back to you, Ron.
Wait, Ron, I got to jump in one more time. Now, see, what happens is a lot of people, based on everybody's situations is a little different. I wouldn't say a little different. Everybody's situation is unique in itself. But see, what happens in the process, that courage in certain people rises up. And then sometimes the discouragement, what I mean by that, when you get to the point in your life when you say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, it'll allow you to have a mental zip code change. You might have to relocate. You might have to push the refresh button, renew button, re-energize button. And then if you don't get you there, last night Rick says, you know what, Country? If you look at it, kind of everybody is in the same position. I'm thinking, no, they're not. Let me tell you what he meant by that. If you get to the point of your life to where you really can't make the decision, life is full of what they call changes. Don't ask me who the experts are, but they say anytime anyone attempts, tries to make their life change for the positive, it always works out for the positive. Watch this. Even if it does not work out the way that you had originally planned. But watch this now. If you refuse to change, don't want to change, don't want to move, don't want to relocate, don't want to reset your mind, don't want to, then guess what? Change comes anyway because it's inevitable. But it usually shows up in the shape, form, or fashion that you don't want to happen. But when Rick says everybody's kind of in the same situation, same position right now, God says, look, let me intervene. I'm going to shut down everything that they depended on the world system until they don't have nobody to call but me. And if you don't believe that, let him shut your cell phone down and you can't talk to nobody but him. And you don't even have to drop a quarter or a dime. And if he told me to tell you the cost has already been paid, but don't wait till your phone gets disconnected to try to call him. So when he says, I'm going to shut everything down that they depend on in the world system, now everybody's having to shift into what is it that I really love to do. That's what's happening now. If you wasn't happy in corporate slavery, I'm a corporate America reject. If you have not been happy in your job, you got to shift. You got to change. The good part is before I shift, I'm going to shift you and throw you this one. All things, not some, all things work together for the good for those. So, yeah, is that you? So now he's going to shift things. He's going to put people and send people into your life. Grandmama speaking now. Baby, I'll be dead and gone, and chaos will hit the world. But do not be confused. We don't serve a God of confusion. People! Yeah, we're talking people now. They come into your life. They come for one or two reasons. They come either to help you or to hurt you. Every day, Joel Griffin, shout out, Joel. Monday through Friday, we serve up hope for lunch. It tastes great and it's spiritually fulfilling. So when y'all call in our show and Ron has already told you about the eight pillars, we have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you and you and you. And the last one is many are called and few are chosen. Are you one of the chosen ones that's been sitting out there listening? Mary's connected us to all the social medias. You've been clicking in here and clicking in there and listening in over here. We're calling you out. We're calling every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to come together. Here comes Burrow Walk to help make for a better world. Back to you, Ron.
You know, any country, you know, whether it's China, whether it's South America, you know, what we're talking about are universal principles that apply in any country, any class, any level of wealth. And but being able to apply these principles is amazing, because when you focus, you can basically do anything. When you push back on the system and do the things that you know in your heart to do and following your purpose, one of the things I discovered is that the system moves, you know. I mean, you're not trying to say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to, you know, start a revolution. But personally, when you push back on the system, what I have discovered is that it moves and it accommodates whatever it is that you have the boldness and the persistence to do. It will move out of your way. And it will provide, when you begin to declare this is what's going to happen, I'm not talking about getting a megaphone, I'm just saying in your spirit, declare. That's why we say 2023 is a creation of your own imagination. What do you want? Write it down. This is what I want my life to look like. Write it down. Pray it every day. See it every day. Get it in your spirit and watch what happens. With that pushback, everything begins to move. As I'll close with Einstein, he says, your imagination is a preview of life's coming attractions. Back to you, Ron.
Well, we've got some pretty heavy stuff that we're talking about tonight, but they're all basic, and they're the building blocks from what we launch, what we're doing. In specific, I'd like to take us to the next step, that when you have heard and understand, if you don't understand and you'd like to know more, any of us are here to help support you to gain the knowledge, gain the experience, more importantly, gain the trust. See, one of the biggest avenues in this whole picture of all we're talking about is a level of trust. In our world, I don't care who you are, where you are, what part of the country you're in, we have been challenged with this idea of trust in community, in families, the medias, everything, everywhere is all promoting this level of distrust. So what you're learning to do again when you're free to dream is because you have a higher level of trust. And when you help people and you outwardly go from yourself outward, you trust. And when you do that, God will bless. That's where God steps in. Now, we have, any one of us has any reasons not to trust certain things. Government right now, they're going to tell you got to take this or do that or that. I got to tell you, I'm one of the first persons to fight that. I can't believe this show is over yet. We just got started, guys. We got 90 seconds to try to complete that. Our idea is to help you be free and willing and able to not only have things happen, but help other people have things happen. That's called a dream. And you can create that dream, and if you care to run down the road with us, we invite you. And there are a lot of people that are listening in. There's a lot of people listening in on different platforms. Please come back and find out more so that you can get free. That's our goal. So thank you, everyone, today. I'd like to speak to all our guests. A number of people were on the show. Just listened in today. I hope you've been blessed. I hope we've been a blessing to you. And now what we need to do is pay it forward. So, guys, have a great day. God bless you. We'll talk to you a little later. Nick, thank you.
We'll see you.
Good day, everybody.
We'll